time for Licking on Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Licking on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's your host of Licking on Lending, David Licking.
Let's begin.
Happy Monday, everybody. September 24, 2018. I hope your Monday is off to a good start. Appreciate you tuning in and listening to us. And I know most of you listen to us on a downloaded basis, but you really should start your day off with us. If you're out there on the West Coast, especially 10 a.m., you're finishing up your coffee. Got some companies out there on the West Coast that actually have us go over their PA system, and this is how they get their information out. So welcome to all you on the West Coast at our speakerphones and on the PA systems, and we thank you so much for being here with us. This podcast is created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals, and we're grateful to have you as our listener. Our commitment is to bring you timely information in an audio format that you can listen to anytime and anywhere. Been studying going Facebook Live. Now, you guys know I've been flirting with this for a long, 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 long time. But we were at the Housing Wire Engage Marketing Conference 2 weeks ago and a week before last, and then the Social Survey Conference, Create Wow Conference in San Ramon before that. And I got to tell you, I'm getting back to going, may have to do that. So Alice, Alan, Andy, Joe, get ready. Get your cameras dusted off. We may go back to that. Really getting serious about it. I think there is, especially when the advancement, we can always use the audio component of it, but we're thinking about it. Love your feedback, listeners. Would you like that? Is this something that you do only on a listen only? But if we were able to do video on this, would you be interested in that? Love to hear from you. Anyway, good to have you here with us. By the way, increasing number of realtors, and we've always had regulators listening in, the increasing number of realtors are listening in, and we welcome them and the builders and anyone affiliated with real estate finance or have an interest in real estate finance. Hey, quick update, MERS. I heard from our good friend Amy at MERS. I got a funny story about Amy. I can tell you, we're talking back and forth. We're just good friends. And I found out I went to college with her dad in Iowa, of all places. So crazy. But anyway, MERS has got an upcoming conference, the eMortgage Bootcamp. They're doing it again, November 15th in Irvine, California. It's an action-packed day of learning about e-mortgages, the benefits of changing landscape, implementation, best practice, legal perspective, and you're going to hear from over 25 industry experts about their experiences integration with e-mortgages into their current processes. So you don't want to miss out. Go to our website, Licking on Lending, and you will be able to get the update. Check it out, MERS. So glad to have them be a part of our podcast. Thrilled with the partnership with them. And anyway, today's hot topic could not be more timely. We have Faith Schwartz, who's one of the most influential names in the mortgage industry. She's been in the industry, won't say for how long, being polite on that, but a long, 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 long time, and has carried a number of really significant positions and has really got her finger on the pulse of what's going on. And so very excited to have her on. She'll be talking about changes coming to the GSE and the regulatory leadership for the GSEs and the future of non-QM lending and more. I don't know how we're going to fit it all in, but looking forward to having Faith on in the Hot Topic segment. So stay tuned all the way to the end. Also want to say a special thank you to our sponsors, the MBA. They've got their upcoming conference. Very excited about that. If you're not joined at Mortgage Action Alliance, no, you do not have to be a member of the MBA. Go to Mortgage Action Alliance. Sign up for that. It's a way of us having our voice heard where you can, with a click of a button on your iPhone, on your Android, your smartphone, you can send a message to our industry legislators on important initiatives going on. MBA has done a great job of heading that up. But, of course, you want to become a member, so if you're not, become a member of the MBA. Also, a special thank you to Arch MI, the creator of the innovative RateStar program. Jim Jump of the team there. Dave Gansberg. Man, I have a great time every time David comes on the podcast. Go back and listen to that podcast. It was a good one. Looking forward to having them back on, seeing them at their reception in Washington, D.C. next month. Coming up so quickly, less than a month away. Also, Black Knight, leading provider of integrated mortgage software systems and data analytics solutions. We had Supi Safavi on with Rich Gagliano, who heads up production there at Black Knight. That is getting so many downloads. Go back and listen to that. And then Open Mortgage, one of the leading buyers of reverse mortgages and the home for some of the top LOs. You know, they're one of the top companies because they're one of the first to advertise on our radio podcast. We're having more now interested in coming into advertising on our podcast because Open Mortgage and Scott Gordon, the team, and Tana Gordon there at Open Mortgage, they do a great job working as a team, partnering with some of the top LOs. Check them out, openmortgage.com. Also, Lenders One and the Mortgage Collaborative, we're proud to be a member of both co-ops. Both do a great job of helping you connect up close and personal with the industry and leaders in the industry. Also, a special thank you to Velma, the efficient mortgage marketing and email platform, Knowledge Coop, an easy, fun way to train your people on how to learn more about the mortgage. If you're doing any training, get a hold of Knowledge Group. You'll hear about them in just a minute. Predictive, helping lenders connect with consumers through intelligent, powerful, pay-per-click marketing strategies. There's so much. We're going to be getting into a lot of marketing strategies in future podcasts. Lots going on there. Of course, then we always say a special thank you to Alice, Andy, Joe, everybody, Alan, for what they're doing and what they contribute to this podcast. So there we go. Thanks to you, all our sponsors. Value the relationship. Let's run out to and talk to our good friends, Rob Van Rackhorst at the MBA for the updated Mortgage Minute. Rob?
Hi, I'm Rob Van Rackhorst. Welcome to the Mortgage Minute and the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. Last week, Senators Orrin Hatch and James Lankford introduced the Guide Compliance Act, which would provide a statutory framework requiring the BCFP to issue regular written interpretive rules and guidance to facilitate industry compliance. The House companion bill passed by the House Financial Services Committee by a margin of 38-14 last Thursday. Also last week, MBA met with officials from the Treasury and IRS to discuss guidance on the pass-through deductions. Both agencies have previously released proposed regulations on the new 20% pass-through deduction under Section 199A of the Tax Code. The meeting was an opportunity to get additional clarification and advocate that members of our industry should be entitled to take advantage of the new 20% deduction against ordinary business income. And finally, mortgage apps increased 1.6% from 1 week earlier, and the average contract interest rate for a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage increased to 4.88%. That's all for me this week on MBA's Mortgage Minute.
Yeah, check it out. Once again, make sure you sign up for the Mortgage Action Alliance. Appreciate them so much. Some upcoming conferences that I'll be speaking at next week at Denver at the Marriott Winchester. I'll be speaking at the Colorado Mortgage Summit. Looking forward to that. Also, October 23rd, I'll be speaking at the Hilton Oakland. It's the Northern California Mortgage Expo. I tell you, there's so much going on in the industry. You cannot not be at these industry conferences. And so, anyway, good to have you with us, everybody. Hey, I've been telling everybody about the digital business card, and I want to encourage you to check it out by going to our website. The digital business card allows you to communicate your message, and it's so much more about message. People are wanting to know more about your story. Why are you in business? What do you do? What do you specifically do? Give me some referrals. And this app, this tool, this digital business card allows you to do it. Check it out. Go to our website, Lickit On Lending, and sign up for it. At least talk to our associate that works with us at TMS, Mark Sanfilippo, and find out about that. It's really cool. It's working for more increased number of people, and I'm using it now exclusively. Stop printing business cards. I just hand this out, put up this QR code. People download the card. They go, how cool is this? And so people are signing up for it. Don't get left behind. Learn how to tell your message according to the new digital market. Love that card. Check it out. Also, let's get over to Les Parker, our good friend, to give us a macro look on the markets.
TM Spotlight Soundbites is brought to you by LoanLogix. She's a survivor. What? I'm going to make it. Down? Trump will survive. Up? Keep on surviving. Who will survive the new Cold War between the U.S. and China, masked as a trade war? When investors saw the U.S. renegotiate outdated trade agreements to ones with fewer trade barriers, they cheered and thought the same would happen with China. Investors are reassessing their assumption after seeing China hesitate to negotiate and the U.S. carrying through on its promise of more tariffs. The battle rages. Who wins, the bulls or the bears? Xi or Trump? Currently, the bears reign, but it could flip quickly. Keep on surviving. These views are my own. Go to tmspotlight.com to subscribe to my daily newsletter.
I'm a survivor. I'm going to make it. I will. will survive. What? Keep on surviving. What?
You know, that may be a really appropriate music given the market we're in. Keep on surviving. Keep on going. Because I tell you, there's a lot of people struggling with earnings right now. And mortgage compressions, LO comp, all these issues. Get to the conference. There's going to be a lot of discussion on that. And also, I forgot to mention this. Marcia Davies is doing the Empower event there again. I'm flying in on Friday just to make sure that I'm there to attend that whole event. We're going to be doing a podcast or recording interviews with some of the leaders that are in there that are involved with Marcia on that. So real honor to be a part of that. Normally, we'd be going over to Joe Farr, but I don't know what happened to Joe Farr. He hasn't dialed in. I don't see him dialed in. And so I know he was on vacation. And so I don't know where he's at. I'm checking. I'm using MBS Quote Lines, their website, to kind of give you a quick update. Consumer confidence is coming in. It's looking like it's going to come in at 131 is the consensus. The prior period is 133. So we'll see if that's a little off. A lot of consumer confidence like crazy right now. Well, also this coming Tuesday, we have the five-year Treasury auction. Also, we have new home sales expected to come in 630,000. That's up from 627,000. Also, we have a Fed statement on Wednesday. The new home sales Fed statement and the Fed chair speech will be this coming Wednesday, September 26th. Man, there is a lot going on with the Kavanaugh confirmation and all the drama associated with this, the Fed speak, and what we have in the Hot Topic segment with all the changes. My gosh, I was in D.C. as Fannie Mae's offices last week. You just feel this like electricity in there going on in D.C. Faith lives there, so we look forward to getting her perspective. Maybe she's used to it by now, but man, it was crazy all that's going on in D.C. in all areas. All areas. Then on Thursday, we got durable goods orders. We got third quarter GDP coming out. That's an estimate. We'll see what that comes out in. Pending home sales, can see that one, that where it's expected to improve slightly to a negative 0.5%, which is better than the negative 0.7% for the previous reporting period. Then we have the 7-year auction. You know, always pay attention how money's flowing in or out of the bond markets. The stock market is so hot, so really interested to see how those cash flows, where the money goes. But anyway, personal income will be reported, expected to be up 0.1% from the previous reporting period of 0.3%. It's supposed to be up to 0.4%, so up 0.1%. And then the core PCE, which is personal consumption expenditures, expected to drop 0.2% down to 0.1%. So we'll see how that is. Of course, consumer sentiment dropping off just slightly. But man, what a crazy market we've been in. But anyway, today, things are pretty flat in the markets today. But that's what's coming up. Also, I called Barry Habib. Barry has got a great website. Love that guy. He has the MBS Highway is his website. And Barry puts out verbal alerts about the market. He's a good friend. I talked to him last week and hoping to have him as a guest on there. Check out his website, MBS Highway. Here's a good old free ad for my buddy Barry. Love that guy. Appreciate him and his service to the industry. All right, let's get over to Scott Gordon. He's always talking about the science of sales. I love these segments, and I encourage you to listen to this one. It's another amount of wisdom from the president of Open Mortgage.
Scott Gordon here with a bit of sales science. I'm sure that many of you are aware of the principle of reciprocity, which is a social rule stating that people feel obligated to repay what another person is giving them. This need is hardwired into our brains. Think of the old adage, the more you give, the more you get. By giving customers something small for free, the customer is much more likely to reciprocate in a subconscious attempt to repay the gift. So how can you use this knowledge ethically to boost your business? The first step is to determine what you can give. What would be of value? A trinket given for a completed app or an inquiry? Shift your thinking to something intangible and far more valuable. Knowledge, experience, or time. That is your gift to your customer. In an industry full of disinformation and a society where everyone is rushed, sharing your knowledge garnered from experience goes a long way. In the end, you're not selling anything. Your conversations are an opportunity to gift your time, attention, knowledge, and experience. Shift your perspective from the chore of talking to potential customers to the giving of a gift. It will give you insights on those discussions and will probably bring you more business. If this sounds too good to be true, it's not. It's just the science of sales.
I love that. The science of sales. That is getting so much traction. If you're looking to advertise, do it like that. Do it like what Scott Gordon does. It's providing information. He's practicing what he preaches, and he does it through video. Check out the website, openmortgage.com. It has some really good content-rich giving them information. And I encourage you to check out that. You know, someone else who does videos really well is Knowledge Coop, our friends at Knowledge Coop. Normally we have Nathan run an ad, but I just want to talk about content. As I attend these marketing conferences, it's so clear that video is getting to be such a major component of most company strategies. And if you want a company that trains by video and does so through edutainment, in other words, combining education and entertainment, you combine those two words, it's edutainment. There's no one that does it better than Knowledge Coop. Check those out, knowledgecoop.com. Check out their website. I think you'll be very impressed with the videos. They got some great content they give away. Again, the concept of freemium, giving something a premium value away. They do a good job of that as well. All right, Alice Alvey, always fun to have you join in. One of our foundation people at the beginning, at the foundation of this whole podcast concept. And we are getting a lot of attention, Alice. I get a lot of feedback when I'm traveling around the country. You don't do much traveling as much as you used to now that you're with Vice President of Education and Training at Union Home. But people miss you out there, the conference goers. Miss your smiling face, and we'll look forward to seeing you. Hopefully, are you going to be at National, Alice?
Yes, I am. I'm actually part of a panel, an MBA education roundtable that we're holding during the conference. I have to double check my schedule, but I think it's on Monday. And then I am absolutely going to Empower. It's a fabulous event. And as you can think, for a large group of our women leadership here at Union Home to attend as well.
Well, do you remember last year you had left a message, or no, you called me. You had left a message and you called me back and said, Dave, you can't miss this event. You've got to be here. This is amazing. So, of course, we have been a big supporter of, ever since you made that phone call, been a big supporter of it, the podcast has. And so Marcia has made room for us to be there and set up our table. So I want you to join me at the table as we interview a number of the leaders. So if you could help me there at the table, we'll be doing it. Lights, camera, action. How about that?
Happy to do it. It sounds fun.
So what's that update? I think you got something on us for the GSEs, our hot topic segment, something that leads us into that. Give us your report.
Yeah, just a quick segue. Since we have Faith on the call, I thought, well, instead of people having to try and remember everything that's been going on with GSE reform, I thought I'd provide a quick little summary here. But first, let me give you two HUD things that are pending. One whole week left if you want to submit your paperwork to get a higher loan limit, so for FHA loans. I think people seem to have forgotten about this. I'm not sure how much it's done anymore, but it is possible. If you look at your county limit that gets published through HUD's formulas and you really feel that your area could benefit or is entitled to a higher limit based on home price increases, there is a process to go through to be able to submit that to HUD. It takes a little bit of paperwork, but it is doable. Still have a week to do that. So keep in mind that if you don't remember, it's too late this year. Jot that down. Keep it in mind throughout the year. You do have some say in some of that if you have data that's worth submitting. Also, there's a comment period open now until October 22nd to comment about HUD's main forms that are used in the FHA application process. So the 2900A, B, the LT, and the model notice for the informed consumer choice, which are big forms that every consumer gets confused about. To me, they're a little archaic, and there's definitely some changes that could happen to those forms. We've just got to get the industry to pay attention to it right now. So folks, get out there, comment on improvements that can be made to those forms. So a quick update on FIFA, or a quick little background, since we're going to be talking about that today, and you go, well, where are we at today with this? I thought, you know, can't we just stay with the status quo? And the answer is no. For one, I don't think the shareholders at Fannie and Freddie want to stay at the status quo because of the basically what we keep calling the Third Amendment sweep or the net worth sweep, which is right now how the profits are being taken from Fannie and Freddie and turned around and put in the Treasury. Now, not all of them are taken, but certainly we need to restructure so we have a permanent solution for Fannie and Freddie. So the Federal Housing Finance Agency that we're going to be talking about here shortly is their overseer that came about out of the housing crisis. So the recent Court of Appeals, the most recent one was July 17th from the Fifth Circuit that ruled that the federal government's regulators, FHFA, is not constitutionally structured. So they're getting challenged just as like CFPB is throughout the court system. But, you know, much like the CFPB, their ruling is really just about whether the president has the authority to remove the agency's director. They've upheld the net worth sweep. But right now it's still about the fact that, you know, the president doesn't have that authority, or it's not clear. So currently the FIFA director is removable only for cause. So that's one of the things that people keep looking at, say, we really need to get a permanent solution. If you're looking for where to find about how the ideas are going to be structured, NBA did issue a white paper, everything just trying to still retain that 30-year fixed rate, TBA market. The Independent Community Bankers Association also issued one. And then, of course, I think as the NBA Minute mentioned, we've got Jeb Hensarling and John Delaney proposed their bill earlier this month, which we talked about on a prior show, H.R. 6746, which, again, we're not going to get a lot of traction on these, you know, right here at the immediate end of the year, but worth taking a look at so you can start to understand some of the ideas that are out there. So that idea was basically to take Ginnie Mae and convert it into more of a vehicle, or more like a utility, to be able to handle this mark and similar to an issuer, and then being able to offer private insurance with it. So, you know, we're still trying to get our legs under what ideas will work. But so far, the good news is a lot of them are trying to retain similar structure to what we have today. But then, you know, how do you really go about unwinding? And how do you really go about transitioning that? And what other ideas are out there? I look forward to talking with Faith in the next part of our program.
It's going to be really good. And she's so articulate about this and so very excited to hear her thoughts. All right. Thanks, Alice. Appreciate it. Looking forward to seeing you in Washington, D.C. And be sure to say hi to Bill and company. Look forward to seeing the whole team there. But appreciate you being a part of the podcast. Folks, we're going to be right back after a brief word from our friends at Black Knight.
As housing prices climb, U.S. homeowners are holding more capital equity than ever before. Effectively capturing the equity market could pose a unique challenge for lenders who may be limited by the capabilities of their current loan origination system or consumer lending platform. Lenders looking to streamline their home equity business processes can benefit from Black Knight's LoanSphere Empower loan origination system. Using this robust and intelligent technology, Empower can originate both first mortgages and home equity loans on the same system. This single configurable solution will help lenders improve margins, support regulatory requirements, and enhance customer satisfaction. To learn more about Empower, visit blackknightinc.com today.
And when you're there at the website, also go click on our podcast. I think they have it up on their website. If not, check it out. We had Sufi Savavi on, who is president and CEO of Heavy Water, who was acquired by Black Knight. Fascinating interview. And we've had them on twice. We had so many questions come in during that, after that podcast. We had to run a sequel to it. Just so much activity going on in that whole space, especially about the technology. And Mr. Technology is joining us. Alan Pollock, good to have you here. You were at Digital last week. Give us a report. That was like to have been there. You just can't be at every place. You want to be.
Yeah, it's hard. A couple people did ask about you, so I said you're doing great, and I would be the virtual David Licken if they needed me to, so it worked out well.
You got to be there. That's funny.
Great.
I know that anyone wants
great.
To be the real me, or much less the virtual me, but anyway, it's good to know that I was thought of there. But anyway, what were some of the highlights from that? Give us a rundown.
Yeah, great conference. I will tell you, I don't know the ratio of vendors and lenders. There, of course, were a lot of vendors there. There were some lenders. The conference has grown, you know, in the 3 short years. Everybody, you know, it's the first conference in a while that everybody walked around saying, this is probably one of the most exciting conferences I've been to in a while. The content was rich. The information was endless. You could, you know, there was over 100 speakers. There were over 30 demos. And just the format was really, really good. You know, the initial highlight was Anthony Hsieh of loanDepot. You know, he left everybody with one big comment, which was just a matter of time before Amazon and Google enter mortgages. And he said, you know, there's a massive amount of customers who want a digital experience with a trusted brand, and we're committed to delivering exactly that. And he said their Mellow platform, which, you know, most of us have seen all over social media and people are talking about through the industry, they spend about $80 million on that platform.
Yeah.
And his vision.
Yeah, I got to. In fact, I interviewed and met the president of Mellow at the digital Housing Wire's digital conference. That was really interesting in what they're doing. So fascinating.
And this is his vision, and he empowers his team with it, is prospective home buyers and those seeking home renovations are looking for financing first. And so putting a lender in a key position of opportunity with real estate agents, contractors, service providers, putting technology in their hands, and the networks at the top of the funnel of the purchase experience will, of course, empower us to do really, really well. And they're building quite a big platform there. I got to speak with their CTO, Dominic. There's just so much stuff they're doing, and they're being really innovative, and that's a good thing. And I think for anyone that's interested in what they're doing, you should take a look. Two interesting stats I heard out of the conference. One was each mobile and web user logs in about 8 times a month to their banking platform. So if you think about how engaged with finance potential home buyers or folks looking to refinance are, they're connected at least 8 times a month to their main banking platform. And 20% of realtors generate 90% of the transactions. I thought those were two very interesting statistics. There were a bunch of demos, over 30 of them, David. Great technology. There was a lot of focus. So I know that you read off a short script for me while I was there.
Yes.
Conference started out about consumer direct platforms. There were 5 sessions. I'm going to tell you the winners of each session and then who the winner of all the sessions were. So LendingTree had 3 panelists there that gave out scores very similar to like Dancing with the Stars or any other reality show. It was great because they gave a score and then they gave their feedback to the demo. And some of the feedback was critical, like you didn't show that you love the product in the demo or, you know, too much conversation about where to click. So it was interesting to see. They weren't too hurtful, too critical, but it was great feedback. Anyways, the first session, the winner was Black Knight. Their LoanSphere servicing digital platform. It's a mobile solution with self-service capabilities. You can go in, make payments, receive notifications. You can view your home value online. It's an interesting take if you think about giving that connection, right, to all the folks that use their technology for servicing and you know, the life of the customer, the journey. Spruce was the second one. They are a digital closing system. They're also the title company, so it was an interesting angle. It's the software platforms offered for free if you're using them. And it includes the signing and escrow process, and they say it works in every jurisdiction. The third was Notarize, maybe not a surprise for some.
Really?
I believe year before they were runner-up, yep. Notary Public Platform, they're doing online public notarizations. They did a great demo. They brought 4 people to the screen. They did a live notarization, including, you know, the borrower identifying who they are with their driver's license. There were a few folks doing that. Notarize does about $1.2 billion in transactions annually right now. And they say that, you know, they released new tools for lenders, agents, brokers, and borrowers. Awesome technologies. A new name, I think, to the mix here. They are out of Dallas, and they released a product called Bullseye Analytics. And it is a platform very similar to some of, like, Motivity and some of the other BI platforms out there in the industry. Not only did it provide dashboards that were sort of pre-curated for the mortgage industry, but they also provided a whole system of alerts, including a mobile app with some AI built in, the ability to say, you know, how many closings do I have this week? And it gave a list of the closing. So some very interesting technology there. And then the final winner of the fifth group was Jane.ai. And it is an AI platform. It's already integrated into some systems like Encompass, AllRegs, CRM systems. And they actually did a demo of something very similar to what I just mentioned Awesome did, connecting data across those platforms together in one AI experience. The winner of the $10,000 prize was Notarized. And everybody voted on it.
It was.
And, that was. That's who they selected.
Really?
Yeah. By the way, AI was a big topic like I expected. Everybody talked about AI, machine learning. There was still lots of consumer direct products out there, lots of advancements going on there. Borrower experience is still a focus, more transparency and controls to the borrower, and of course the back end, right? Advancing the collaboration to provide us more data, to provide us a better experience, to empower our AI and machine learning, what we want to do, increase efficiencies, reduce human errors. I heard the word butts in seats a whole bunch of times. Lots of compliance, reg tech was there. Few companies were talking about that. And then, you know, something new, which I haven't seen lately, David, are appraisal platforms. There were a few demos of different folks trying
really?
To provide a way, yeah, to better connect the time it takes, you know, looking to reduce our total transaction time. Appraisal platforms were there. And there was one that was interesting, and they used beacons. So the appraisers actually are on the platform, very similar to like when you go to get an Uber in your car, for a car. You can see them on the map, and you actually can – it'll tell you who's closest, and they can go out. So you can do last-minute immediate appraisal orders, and then they accept the order. You can track when they're there. You can track when they leave, a whole big thing. And a lot of OCR. A lot of people have leveraged OCR technology. They may call it something different, but I saw a lot of that. Only one company, by the way, with OCR talked something unique, which was LoanLogix, talking about the ability to extract a couple thousand data fields and hundreds of documents and comparing the data across those. So a bunch of different folks talked about how they're using it, but this one was a little more specific, so I was quite intrigued by that. And by the way, one great session, Bank of America talked about their digital lending journey, and it was focused on how they bring consumer mortgage, auto lending, as well across channels such as phones, internet, and video. And they talked about their AI bot, Erica. And it was interesting because it was about a 45-minute session. They talked about how Erica is engaging with people, what the future of Erica is going to be, and really, you know, how to help borrowers get that artificial, you know, that human touch when they want a self-service. But he did say, session talked about how borrowers are trying to get that human contact. So it's a great segue to get into that overall. Form Free, by the way, had a big announcement. I know we've got a friend from Form Free. Faith on today. So there was a big announcement about income asset employments being available on the platform. And there was, by the way, one survey. There was a couple surveys through the sessions that were out there. One survey that was, you know, how it sort of was about, you know, how well are you embracing these digital enhancements? And really, it was everybody's embracing it. But the execution, the challenge of execution with these digital platforms was the outlier in the survey that everybody had basically said. Lots of great demos, by the way. I've got my own picks. I'm not going to share them today. If anybody would like my opinion on any of the demos that were out there, please feel free to reach out. Otherwise,
get your own.
That's right.
Siskel and Ebert, the Siskel and Ebert of the tech. You want my opinion to see if I got one thumb or two thumbs up on this? Get a hold of Alan. That's hilarious.
But
that's
it was
good.
Great.
That's
it
good.
It was a great conference. And yeah, if you couldn't make it, you want to be there next year.
Yeah, we had Lori Brewer on last week, as you know, and she did a good job. And she said, I just don't sometimes get it. You know, I mean, it's like going to a conference and all the vendors demoing to each other. That's what I thought. But she said, Dave, I know, I get that all the time, but actually, we get a lot of business out of it. And so they're there and they're buyers and they're listening. And so kudos to Source Media for doing a great job of putting this together for the third year in a row. Awesome. Good.
Yeah,
glad you were there. Glad
Thank
for the
you.
Report, my friend. How can people get a hold of you? One person already texted me. How can I get a hold of Alan? Alan, how do you want them to reach out to you for the question?
It is Alan, A-L-L-E-N, at TMS-advisors.com.
There you go. Look forward to talking with you a little bit in the Hot Topics segment, my friend. Normally,
Likewise.
We'd be running over to Andy Schell. He is the Profit Doctor, but he is speaking at the Loan Vision Conference. He's got another series of webinars that he's going to be putting up for the MBA. He is a regular. He does a great job of teaching folks. Check out MBA's website. Go to their education department. Take a look at that. I'm looking at the clock, and I want to make sure that we allow a lot of time. So we're just going to say, encourage you to go out to the MBA website and sign up for the webinar. Lots of good information there. So much to cover and so little time to do it. So we're going to take a quick break to listen to Jim Jump talk about the RaceStar program, and then we'll be right back with Face Short.
Hi, David. Archimai is happy to be a proud sponsor of the program. Today, I'd like to let your listeners know about RateStar from Arch Mortgage Insurance. RateStar makes it easy to choose what type of mortgage insurance coverage your loan needs. Quotes are delivered in seconds and represent our most competitive Archimai rates based on the strength and quality of the loan application. That's the power of RateStar. Getting a mortgage insurance quote has never been so powerful or so simple. And with that, I'll turn it back to you, David.
Good. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate our sponsorship. Again, I always tell the story. Jim Jump, one of the first, very, very first to get the podcast. So he's been advertising back all the way back to his PMI days. So good job. Appreciate it so much. Well, I am excited about today's topic. The hot topic. Yes, I'm always excited about every hot topic we do. That is true. But it is my pleasure to welcome our special guest today, Faith Schwartz, who is the founder of Housing Finance System Strategies, a strategic advisory firm. And she's also the president of the mortgage fintech company, Form Free. Many of our listeners have come to recognize Faith for her past roles as the executive director of Hope Now. That's where, actually, I met her back in her old Fannie Mae days. But Hope Now is an alliance formed by the Secretary of Treasury, HUD, and the industry leaders in responding to the housing market crisis. She's also held executive positions at CoreLogic, Freddie Mac, where I'll be tomorrow morning for more meetings. She served as advisor at Accenture Credit Service, another one of my old clients. A real true industry leader, and we're thrilled to have her on the program. Faith, good to have you here.
Hey, thanks, David. It's great to be here. Great to be on with you.
Well, we appreciate you and the leadership you've brought to our industry, Faith. You are truly someone who is a critical thinker, and for that reason, for many reasons, I just want to get to know you better as I look at your background and all that you've done. And then we have some mutual friends, Tony Moss, and different ones that we've known and interacted with, but I just want to get to know you so much better. You live inside of Washington, D.C., and that's really the heartbeat of housing regulation, and your work gives you opportunity to interact with some of the top regulators, the top regulators, the regulators, and the GSEs, and government agencies, not to mention some of the more notable industry think tank kind of people. What do you think is coming? We now know that there's changes in leadership coming, but what are your thoughts about the coming changes of leadership at Fannie, Freddie, and FHFA? What does that mean to our industry?
Well, I think certainly listening to Alice with her overview this morning, just on even the congressional kind of effort around GSE reform, I'm reminded we finally, with the latest Hensarling bill recommended, have an alignment across the Democrats and Republicans that we need a government guarantee for liquidity. Believe it or not, that had not been the case across the board with several different introductions of change. So going forward, they've been in conservatorship for 10 years and clearly don't have enough capital as big counterparties to the lending industry that in some sense that continues to provide a risk to our taxpayers unless there's real change. So this administration has clearly signaled and stated that they want to see Congress act, but they certainly have some capabilities to make administrative changes. And some of the prominent think tanks, some like AEI and others, have suggested a roadmap on what FHFA and even Treasury can do to kind of limit the footprint of the GSEs while broadening private capital in the market. Fannie Mae CEO Tim Mayopoulos and Freddie Mac's Don Layton are both stepping down, Tim by year end and Don second half of next year. And equally important, the FHFA director will be transitioning out likely January of 2019. Today, both conservator and regulator over the GSEs. That's a big change for all of us for 50%.
That's huge. You know, significant. Yeah.
So that reordering of what's happened, if you think about the GSEs while in conservatorship, regardless of your views of them, and I know they're divergent views of the GSEs, but having worked, I have a bias, I did work at one for a long time, they have reordered the way we think about technology, and they've shed risk through the credit risk transfer programs. And now those two innovations are somewhat remarkable given they've been in conservatorship for the last 10 years. Yet our industry now is triggering a very significant transformation in technology, and they've done that through a lot of partnering in the industry and leading the way on investment in technology changes. So I thought I'd just mention, given all the changes coming about, they've kind of set us on a path forward in mortgages that for 30 years have not been the case. David, you and I know that well, having both been in the industry a long time.
You know, when you look at all the changes going on, especially I think probably the most significant and the possibility, what is the possibility of Mel Watts stepping down ahead of the end of his term? What are you hearing inside of the Beltway?
Well,
is that more likely or is that just a rumor?
You know, I am not hearing that, but that certainly doesn't mean that won't happen. I know there's, you know, there are some stresses at that agency at the moment, but there is a hearing this Thursday. And Tim Mayopoulos and Mel Watt will be testifying. So you'll probably hear what the State of the Union is and where they're going. And I think that hearing will be somewhat pivotal, and that's this Thursday. So maybe ask that question next.
I want to have you on more regularly, Faith, and have your input into this, because I think you represent such a good critical third-party perspective. It's not laced with politics. It's not laced with I guess everyone has some level of political leanings one way or another. But, I mean, you really are an independent thinker, and you do a great job of presenting that way. I was so impressed impressed with Fannie Mae's new offices in downtown. I was there on Thursday afternoon last week with a client, a fintech company, with getting a really innovative new product to market. And we're meeting with Freddie Mac tomorrow morning. So I'm flying out again back to D.C. and we'll be meeting with them. But the innovation, I think the technology that you talk about, the innovation is really, really critical. And they've really opened the way to that. But let's talk for the benefit of our audience. What do you mean when you refer to private companies partnering with government or public entities? I thought that was really interesting. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, even way back when I ran Hope Now, you know, we were working hand in hand with the government and they were making policies, but private industries had to execute. So whether it's, you know, public companies working with the government or private entities driving innovation, but partnering with the agencies such as the FinTech Group, I'm the president of Forum Free and on their board, and certainly they're partnering with both GSEs to bring both asset income and employment and just reorder the way loans are done on the front end. And they, among many other fintech type companies, so there's certainly lots out there. But the GSEs, by doing that, are kind of tapping the innovation out in the market and then drawing in companies to serve and scale to the broader market and testing things. Those are excellent examples of that. I think collateral valuation, I believe Veros was selected to build and support and maintain the Uniform Collateral Data Portal on behalf of the GSEs, and later on the Electronic Appraisal Delivery Portal on behalf of the FHA. Well, that means private industries making something happen, and then they're testing and getting into what is the best execution, and they're delivering through a vendor. So I think all of these day one certainties, driving better information, getting data from some of the core logics of the world and other data aggregators to make sure that the source of information is authentic, is really going to drive certainty to all the investors, credit investors. And I think today I even heard from Dave Lohman, I'm out of the Freddie Mac Direct Connect conference, that there's never been the kind of manufacturing of a mortgage loan at the greatest level of low defect rate that they're getting today with a combination of technology and good data.
We should say you are at a Freddie Mac conference right now. Do you want to talk briefly about what you're – that's great. I think it's great. It gives us our listeners perspective of operation content you have right now for us. Which conference are you at again?
It's Freddie Mac's Connect conference, and it's just bringing both their lenders and then all of their technology providers together to talk about kind of their roadmap going forward. It's just one they offer each year. It's the first time I've been here. But it is a reminder of the influence they have. Regardless of where they are in the business, they're still 45 to 50% of all originations, you know, both Fannie and Freddie.
It's phenomenal. But what do you foresee as the next major challenge that may be solved with innovation that we're seeing and applications to the broader residential lending market? Interesting your perspective.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we've all started recovering from the Great Recession. And as you know, it's been a tight kind of credit box and zero tolerance in mortgage, whether it's, you know, new investment in technology or compliance, manufacturing and origination of loans almost has to be perfect because people were frightened of the large buyback risks in the market. And I think we've re-kind of set where we are in that. But what we've also done is we had the lowest level of home ownership, and certainly for African Americans and other minorities, that we've had in some 50 years. So if you combine that with the new demographics of the majority of growth in home ownership in the housing demographics will be minority-headed households, and then you've got millennials who have never walked in a bank but pay by Venmo. I mean, it's an interesting nexus of what the demand in housing is going to be, and are we meeting the consumer where we are? And we shouldn't just rely on the GSEs. They've gotten us back to basics on making sure that our collateral, that our lending processes are improved and, you know, good data-enabled solutions are there. But bringing back private capital to look beyond the non-QM market and loans that don't sit in a box is going to be important in the next decade.
On that note, I want you to continue on there. But on that note, we were just back at Fannie's offices last week with a very innovative new product. Can't say anything about it. Tons of NDAs around this. but they're trying so hard. You see their willingness, but they go, but we can't, we're eliminated here. We can't do it because of this. And it's, you can feel the desire for innovation inside of the GSEs, but they are just feel so boxed in. Talk about that. I mean, that's where the QM strategy is.
Well, that's a way to think about it. They still are a taxpayer related, you know, they do try to stretch. We certainly have FHA that's an explicit guarantee, and there's a mission and a vision of low down payment, and they do own that first-time home buyer market more than the GSEs do, and their programs are designed to do that. I would just say this gets back to, well, what more can be done, and whether or not it's appropriate for the government to always be driving that. I think it's an opportunity for bank balance sheet lending, private placement lending, to look at, hey, how do I add that rental income as a new data variable? Because now I have a source where I can see they've paid for 18 months steady. Or how can I look at a bank statement and understand a different way to think about this borrower's disposable income versus a gross income and a DTI that's kind of meaningless? So it feels to me like there's going to be a reordering of how we make credit decisions based on good information and data. Well, that's private capital coming back. So there are lots of ways to point to the GSE processes, but then look to the private market for capital and balance sheet lending as well.
Is that going to come from REITs, do you think? Is that going to come in the way of PE? How do you see private capital coming back? Hopefully it's not going to come back from the guys that set us up for the Big Short that Michael Lewis did such a great job of documenting.
I just watched that movie. No, you know what's interesting, and maybe I'm a little bit of an optimist, and that is sometimes that's a curse, but my view.
No, I love that about you, Faith. I encourage that. Don't lose your optimism. We need it. Sorry to interrupt. Go on.
There are some loans that are illegal to make. You must show that you've tested the ability to repay and that you have a judgment. You know, it's very different than what it was back in the no-doc era. You have to show. You can't just do an asset-based mortgage. I mean, asset-based lending is not the way it's supposed to be working. And so I think many of the rules, not all of them, around FRANG and CFPB have helped us minimize just enthusiastically risky loans. Risk layering is much less able in this market. That said, people find a way, and I get that. Fraud will be reduced because you're getting data from the source. So that's very important. You aren't going to white out things. Documents aren't being delivered, so you're going to have less white out and less copying and taking up of statements. So it feels to me like you have a lot of balance sheet opportunities, private placements. You know, the private capital, the private label securitization market is really not, the plumbing is still not there. And the trust in the market from the investor side and securitization has really not come back. From the roles of everyone. I would just say one last thing is that private capital is showing itself to be very prominent in the credit risk transfer. So believe it or not, the GSEs, by shedding the risk of their own risk management, are they bringing back that private capital in a very big asset class by their CRT transfers.
Your perspective on REITs, what's your thoughts on that? Someone just texted me that question.
You certainly know a few. Well, I always think that I don't know if they're in every cycle. It works to be a REIT because you're always having to dividend out your earnings back out. So I'm probably not the best expert on the REITs to be speaking of it, but I know some great people. I know Byron Boft and some others who've done a great job in the market. You should bring them on your program and I'll listen. So
if you would do an introduction, Byron, I've met him, but I don't know him. I don't have his contact information, but if you could do that. Forward him. We'll send out a link. Send the link to this podcast to him. I'd love to have him on.
Okay.
We're looking for that because I really think the REIT is such a good common sense tool.
It is.
But let's go back and start talking about QM, and then we're looking at expanding non-QM originations. It means finding a secondary market for those loan products. And what are your thoughts of the return of the private capital to these? I mean, you touched on it briefly, but I want to drill into that just a little deeper.
I think, and I have always been someone who's felt that we shouldn't be over-reliant on government markets for a lot of reasons. I mean, I think it's important to show that you're showing the best efforts at competing. You know, no one can compete with a government balance sheet. No one. You can't.
No,
it's like whack-a-mole.
Yeah.
Every time you price each other from FHA or VA or Fannie and Freddie on the same similar product, where does private capital compete to that? It's hard to. So I think a bringing in of capital to show more innovation around the non-QM. And just remember, that can be as simple as just the loan amount's different, or it's not fitting in the 43% box, but maybe someone makes a lot of money and it should be 44% debt to income, or whatever it might be. Being in a box, you need to nibble around the edges of what that looks like. Given all the, we're very reliant on the government for 70% of the market today. That's FHA, VA, USDA, rural, and the GSEs. That's a lot. And at one point it was 90%. So, you know, having a little more, and clearly it's been already identified by this administration, do we really need all refinances of second homes and different types of things to go one way and through GSEs or others, where private capital will be happy to make a loan on some of those aspects. So I think personally some of the changes we'll see will be more in what the changes happen with the GSEs going forward and what the new FHFA director does to kind of march forward on where they are in the market. I also think the same of FHA. I think, you know, you hear some of the advisors over time saying they'd like to kind of continue to kind of step back and let private capital come in and fill it. And so all that means is that maybe an equally competitive market, not necessarily crazy risky, but taxpayer risk gets reduced that way. So that's kind of how I think about it. And typically with more opportunity wherever possible to make loans.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, unique, common sense unique. We don't have to go back to crazy. There is unique products. And there's, again, I wish I could tell everyone, I wish I could make a big announcement, the one I'm working on right now. It is so common sense, and anyone gets it. It's so consumer friendly. Uh-huh. We can't get it. I mean, we're working on getting over the finish line. We'll see how that goes. But here's a question. Yeah. We've got a whole bunch of things I want to talk about, but I've got some questions coming in from listeners. So I always like to insert those. One of the listeners just wrote, who's the biggest driver in the administration? Is it Mnuchin that's going to drive a lot of this within the housing sector? Now, is it Mnuchin, do you think?
I think he's someone to keep happy with whatever goes forward.
He's the quiet giant when it comes into this, in behind the scenes, providing a lot of policy.
So he's familiar just from the industry standpoint. And I think they've had a very rational view. They've pushed hard to have Congress, Craig Phillips and Mnuchin, to have Congress make change so that they do it the proper way, not necessarily only through the administrative way.
FHFA
is one to watch too. So they're an independent director in a sense. So FHFA would be the other.
Yeah, that's obviously the one that we're paying most attention to, especially the new director. The other one that came, another question just came in. Inside the Beltway, you're looking at Ben Carson. It seems to be a non-event. The person said, a non-event, ho-hum. What can we expect from FHA?
Uh-huh.
Any thoughts on Ben and team, Dr. Carson?
Well, I think there's some good news because you do have Brian Montgomery back in there.
And I love Brian.
And Brian, I worked with him in the crisis, and he's very sharp. He's a very thoughtful guy. So what he can do, he will do. But he does need, I understand, they have hundreds of vacancies under him.
I know.
So for anyone listening, you should raise your hand because Brian could use some help, is my understanding, inside of FHA as the commissioner. But I think we have lost some time by not having that job filled. But he's now in there and kind of clearing his historic hurdles of what had to be done because he transitioned back in there. But my understanding is we'll see more. And they have very good people in there. It's just a matter of they're bootstrapped through their technology, and that's serious. It's serious that
so
they
true.
Have the same innovation going on that Fannie and Freddie do. So we need to get them better technology.
So let's go on and talk about private capital. Why is it so important that we bring it back, Faith? We know we do. We need it. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I just think less and less things won't fit in the box going forward. And, you know, we don't want the government to have the wrong incentives in place. Either we want to be responsive and meet the market where it is. And in some sense, you see that through the technology, you know, boom that we're seeing where all of these firms are doing dramatically different things. And for instance, you can't force that into a box to the VA, USDA, rural, or FHA, for instance. So that's a significant part of the market. So the more we can kind of step back and make safe and sound loans and put them on the balance sheets of banks or private capital or even a securitization issuance, the more competitive we'll be, and we'll be meeting the market where it is without introducing, yep, you know, new big risks.
Alice, I want to run over to you. I know you got to probably run off to a meeting before we wrap up. Do you have a question you'd like to ask Faith as we listen in on our discussion here?
Yeah, so just a quick one. I guess looking forward, right, it's got to be very difficult for Fannie and Freddie to plan, right? We talked about technology in particular, right? So what's your sense of where the agencies, how they do this today? And we certainly as an industry don't want to lose what they've developed or
right,
take any steps backwards.
Right.
So,
I agree.
You know, what does the future look like there?
You know, there's a couple of things going on there. I mean, you've got the single security that's poised to be coming out soon, less than a year away, right? So you've got that,
yep,
going on, and that means, you know, better liquidity for both of them together. That's the idea. So that means the Fannie and Freddie, good things that both agencies are now going to have really one bigger liquid market. I think they're both technology companies now. They take on,
yes,
significant risk, but they also are shedding that risk. So they have reduced the risk to the taxpayer. That utility model, that model has been a great path for them to exist in any form or fashion. They've got good talent. Washington, D.C. has great housing talent. And so to lose that would be, I agree with you, Alice, very difficult. So I think we'll not see them in huge dramatic changes. I think they'll be part of any solution, whatever that might be. If they even get privatized, turned into a utility, you do a wrapper with Ginnie Mae or whatever you do to get an explicit guarantee, I suspect you're going to see both of those agencies in some form or fashion.
Well, I hope that's the case. Alan, I know we're getting ready to wrap this up. Let's jump in. I mean, I've got so many questions I want to get to, and we just are running out of time. But Alan, let you jump in.
Well, you know, Faith, you just said they're both technology companies. I was going to ask you that question. I think as the industry advances, and really I want to, not my opinion, I want to ask your opinion, technology, I think it's obvious it plays a big role, but where do you think, is there one place in all of this that technology makes the most sense, right? So in order for us to really advance all of these agencies and our relationships in and out of the government, where does technology play a role and where do you see its most influence?
Well, I don't think it's necessarily their technology itself that is making the difference. It's their policies and programs to take credit risk, and everyone has to point to them and then originate to them. I think it's the technology outside of the GSEs on reordering, whether it's property records, title, you know, appraisal portals, or I guess what I'm saying is,
yeah,
whoever's taking the credit risk is first and foremost going to get to dictate, yes, I don't need an appraisal in a tract housing unit at 80 or below LTVs or 90 and below. Or I've decided I can get income asset and whatever off of, you know, with some vendors who do some good quality assurance and data aggregators. My property records show no liens and judgments, so I can clear to close. And does that need to be an independent portal and not the government? Possibly. There's some arguments for it. I'm not sure why you dismantle the people that have,
yeah,
perfected process. But remember, private capital will point to their processes and say, if you can rep and warrant, you do it the way Fannie does or Freddie does, which is pretty well documented now, then I will buy your loans all day long, and I'm going to add an 80 LTV to a 70. That's my big difference. That might be the
number
of QM.
So do you think
having them serves the standard for the market is really a good way forward because of what they've bring in. They brought down costs down pretty significantly.
Yeah, I would actually agree with you. I start a lot of my presentations off when I talk about Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac that they basically set the guidelines, right?
Right.
For our industry. I guess I'll end with this. Do you feel you, uh-huh, said a couple things there that are interesting, plus your relationship with FormFree? I think, mm-hmm, you know, it's almost a segue into how blockchain may help us in the future.
Yeah. Yeah, I think what we're seeing today is you can replicate through quality control and downstream processes, monitoring and or unlock the information that you got digitally. It's accurate, it's direct from banks, what have you. I can see a lot of inefficient, expensive costs being wrung out of the business through blockchain. So
yeah.
I think it has a big role on the market. I agree.
We've had Debbie Hoffman on talking about blockchain, one of the leaders in the space, and we need to get her back. We've got a lot of people just sending in questions. We're running out of time, but tell our audience, what are you working on now? Where are you spending most of your time, and how can people learn more about you and what you're doing, Faith?
Oh, well, you know, I'm just offering advisory services to I am trying to take some leadership roles, like for Forum Free. I'm helping them scale to be their to their next chapter and grow the fintech, because they're very working across the board. And I'm on their board of directors and president right now, helping them do that. I spend some time with private big mortgage companies, a public company actually, and advising them on Washington, helping them kind of navigate that. And I have a couple other fintechs and a civil rights group that I'm on the board of. So I'm on some boards, the data and analytics. So
you're
I'm
not
pretty
bored.
Busy.
Well, we're getting a lot of questions. If this one person just wrote, says, I love her. I don't know her, but I have her back. We got to hear more from her. Someone just wrote that
well,
one
so
in.
Nice to be
so
here.
You're getting.
Thanks for having me.
It is. Oh, it's such an honor, Faith. You're a thought leader. I encourage people to get a hold of you. What is the best way, your preferred way, for people to reach out to you?
You know, I have my just a Gmail account, F Schwartz. So it's Faith Schwartz, F Schwartz, HSSLLC, at gmail.com. And you can certainly text me at 202-384-5887. I'm on the emails of the companies I represent, but it's not all public. So I'd rather just give me a side note. Hey, always a pleasure. I love this business. But like David, I've been around a long time. I've seen a lot. So that's why it's easy to talk about it.
Well, you do such a good job. You're so articulate. And I think what's so important that folks like you and I who have been in it forever bring is a historical perspective. There's a lot of new innovative things that are going on, but we've seen a few of them out there, and we got to dissuade some people from trying some stuff and keep it in the common sense. Yep. There's no one better to guide this industry than you, Faith. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us.
Thank you. I hope to be back. Thank you.
We're going to get you back, and sooner than later. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Folks, we've had Faith Schwartz on as our special guest. So good to have her here with us. Special thank you to our sponsors, ArchMI, Black Knight, Motivity Solutions, Open Mortgage, the MBA, Predictive, Lenders One, the Mortgage Collaborative, Velma, Knowledge Coop, CardTap, and Vidyard. So thankful for all of you being a part of this podcast, telling others about it. I'm racing because we're out of time. That happens. So have a great rest of the day, and we'll talk to you soon. Faith, thanks so much for being here with us.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.